Scott Shapiro standing by. The Shapster. We've got perfect 10:45 to 11 window for Scott Shap 34. And of course, you can tune in tonight. Is that on that same? Is that that same channel that I was on with Valvano, the ESPN, right? ESPN 680, ESPN 680, I think. Inside Churchill Downs. I would think that they'll be live at Diamond Dogs, right? We'll find out. He and Kevin Kirstein. And Darren Rogers. Although Darren, I tried to email Darren, and I think there's a chance that he's on a vacation week because something got kicked back. One of those auto. I've never figured out. I see where you're supposed to do it. I've tried to do that. You know, when I actually have a vacation, and it never works. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I go to that thing where it says. You could, you know, auto response message. I think I've tried two or three times. So I stopped trying. And I've stopped going on vacation, basically. last year, we were largely unavailable for that vacation, right? We were in Mexico for a week and then on Route 66. We sort of waited. I certainly was. I was in communication on Route 66 because I was sending you all the highlights, all the just hysterical, you know, things like the blue whale, right? The blue whale of actually that horse Katona. Is it Katona? I think it is. I think it's the blue whale of Katona. So that Katona that's running tomorrow, I'm almost positive that it's the blue whale of Katona. There's so many great roadside attractions. I mean, that was the best. That's the best part. I got a picture at the Twin Arrows, even though one of the arrows isn't standing anymore. Twin Arrows, Oklahoma. It's so cool. And we'll be in France for this vacation. I'm all things considered, with as much travel, I feel pretty good. My legs are feel strong. A lot of times you'll hear me maybe after Belmont week, you'll hear me and ask it. I'll pull out the reaching for the wire line that I always do. We've hit the wire for the first half. Back after this, Scott Shapiro joins us. Hammer and more. James Scully, too. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details. Bonds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. It's about just about 15 to the top of the hour, and in a shocking development on this show, able to bring Scott Shapiro on exactly when he said he'd be available.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Not bad. It doesn't happen too often. Because this is a...
I can confirm.
This is a meandering, kind of a wandering... Kind of a wandering sort of an affair. let's wander into some quick recapping from last week. Some thoughts. How was your weekend?
It was good. I thought the Preakness kind of was a little underwhelming, as we kind of talked about in B, especially with Mage being, flat, understandable after just a couple of weeks after the big race and a big lead up to the Derby. And, it was a fun finish with National Treasure and Blazing Sevens,
yeah.
But not a fast edition of the race and, probably second tier horses in the division. But, I think Mage still holds the lead, I guess, if you will, in the division with, the likes of Forte and Angel of Empire likely to have something to say about it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and, there was a valuable, because Nick Tamaro actually kind of kicked this off. Those of us that did not use, I picked National Treasure third, but I did not use him prominently. And it cost me, to be honest, both of the two day bets, and I don't want to reduce Mage to the equivalent of Orb, exactly, but they're really this was a reinforcement of, appreciating that the horses that come from well back in the Derby invariably are up against it in this race. This was an extreme example because it was a small field and we lost, the anticipated. That's another part of the equation that I think we always have to be. I talk about this a lot, Scott, that you have a certain expectation of a race based on who you're expecting to participate, and then you lose one, and your mental imagery of the race is so locked in. And first mission's absence after, you know, talking about, you know, nothing but him for weeks on end, as being, you know, a major expectation of being a major participant, and you know, the Bernardini approach and all the things that went with that, and then suddenly, oh, he's not participating. And in the meantime, mentally, you've got this certain image of the race, and you don't, you know, you got to turn it over like an Etch-a-Sketch and start again. And
right.
I mean, that, you're not, you know, not including National Treasure. I mean, to say, okay, he's third in my own selection grid, and yet I don't have him as an A, not even as a C. I mean, I didn't have him anywhere. I thought the only horse I thought might run well and be a surprise was Perform, and he was terrible. But the, you know, the fact that Mage was compromised and, you know, tried to be a little closer to the pace and be left with less to do, left him, you know, clearly punchless against that slow of a pace. And he's just the latest example of a late running Derby winner, that, you know, that found it tough to, you know, repeat, in the Derby. So, and the Preakness. So, that's
right.
It's a costly lesson.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have a combination of a couple of things. Coming back off 2 weeks rest off the career best effort where there was a hot pace, and then you run in a race where the participants are fresh and you've got, you know, a glacial pace.
Yep.
So, you know, forgivable in that respect. I just thought, you know, National Treasure to me was a backup type horse. I mean, look, he had everything his way with the blinkers on and was all out to be Blazing Sevens, who's been, you know, at least a cut below the top horses of the division, and what National Treasure went off at 5-2. So I can forgive missing that one. You know, obviously if you hit prices in horizontal wagers beforehand, you want to be alive to as many horses as possible. But I thought he was an underlaid price, and I was proved wrong by a lot of sharp handicappers that actually liked him before first mission was scratched. I don't know how that would have, you know, to me, first mission wins that race, you know, way more times than he doesn't after watching what the other participants did. But, you know, that's hearsay at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, how was the Churchill portion? I was delighted to have Connor Murphy on the other day, off that nice win for him in the Louisville. That's a horse that still got upside yet.
No doubt. I mean, was much best in that Keeneland race when he lugged in terribly on Flavian Pratt and caused the accident there. And I mean, he was live. I mean, for him to go off at 7-1 in that field, I kind of didn't notice it. Long day. It was, you know, the last race, you know, looking towards the Preakness, and just didn't really catch it in the wagering until the last minute or two, how live he was. But he was live, and he ran well. And, you know, you mentioned Connor Murphy. If you look at his stats, they're not gaudy, but I think he does an excellent job, and it's great to see him have a graded stakes winner. Looking forward to seeing what the rest of the year brings for Foreign Relations.
Exactly. He's got two nice stake horses in the barn. All right, let's dive in. And, you know, I haven't given the whole Churchill weekend advance, but the Winning Colors as well coming up on Monday, so there's plenty to look forward to over the next 3 days. Echo Zulu in here, although
yep.
I know she's she's cross entered at
Lone Star. Right?
And I gotta get to Lone Star before we wrap up today, because they've got their big card on Monday, which is very nice.
Yeah, I think she's going to run in Churchill,
yeah.
Winning Colors, from what I understand. I haven't got a chance to fully dive into that race with it being drawn last night and a quick turnaround, but looking forward to seeing her return. And you just have to imagine if she's coming back, you know, to run, that she's probably doing as well as ever. But I didn't get a full chance to dive in, but we do have the stakes action as well. Another marathon turf race, the 10 to 11 tomorrow. And I think the Kirtana is pretty fun. I mean, I think I think this turf course has played pretty fairly thus far. We've seen a lot of off the pace types. We've seen some wire to wire winners. So I think with some speed in here, I think it's going to set things up for some off the pace types. I know Sparkle Blue will take a lot of support off that, effort in the Modesty, which was a better bunch than what she needs here. But, I'm not in love with that 7-2. We'll see if the mile and a half is to her liking. I do like Miss Yearwood, who has to prove that she can win back to back races and put back to back races together. But her best, and with a lively early pace, I think she's one of the ones to beat. If she's near the 6-1, I think that would be a favorable price in her fourth start of the year for Ian Wilkes, who's had a good run of it of late. And I thought Quality Star was a little interesting as well. Now, this horse has to prove that she can put forth that same closing effort at a mile and a half. But her last effort at Keeneland, albeit with a really good setup, I mean, she just finished full of run for Paul Lobo and Joe Talamo, and she's hit the board in 2 of 3 at Churchill. So I landed on Miss Yearwood over Quality Star over Sparkle Blue, but there's lots of ways to go. But if all the speed stays in there, speed types, I think that I want to look to some runners from off the pace.
Well, and you're not alone in that with that lean. That's Nick was aboard as well.
Miss Yearwood, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, she's not. I can't see her being 6-1, to be honest. But I think she's got a ton of talent, and definitely no issues with the distance for her. I guess we can backtrack a little here to race 9, which is a 3-year-old filly first level allowance. And man, I thought number 2 Alva Star ran huge off the bench. For Brett Brinkman, this is a daughter of Lord Nelson that debuted last year at Delaware over the sloppy going, won pretty easily, and then was on the bench until May 5th at Oaklawn, and she did all the dirty work sitting just off a very hot early pace. The favorite and winner unifying said a dream trip, and Alva Star really fought her to the wire. I thought anything near that effort again, and there could be some regression. We're looking at a 22-day return off a long layoff. But if there's not, I think Alva Star will prove to be a very nice value play if she's anywhere near the 4-1 price.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think the local runners in here were all that. I thought Charrier cutting back to one turn and getting freshened up by the Bull McKeever was my next horse. Fogo Island, I'm not in love with the dirt at least based on pedigree, but she won nicely at Turfway. But yeah, I'm pretty high on Alva Star's chances, even though she hasn't raced or even worked over the surface.
All right.
The 8th looks like Kapuna's Race to Lose at a short price. And the 7th didn't have much of a thought. Back to race 4. Man, number 2 on a spree. This is a starter, a $20,000 starter. Joe Sharp has 2 in here, Tapage and on a spree. And I'm on a spree, who couldn't have been any more impressive in the last start. This horse has been popular at the claim box. This is the fourth barn, 5th claim, and 6 starts. So somebody's seeing something they like. And man, he won under death. I mean, just couldn't have been. When it won any easier against Lesser, and now Sharp, who's had a real good run of it at the meet, 7 wins, he's clicking at about 30%, stretches him out, and I'm on the spree. I'm going to ride this horse off of 2 straight wins on the class hike.
I love that, and that's an angle. Sometimes people are shy to to roll with a horse like that on the rise, but that's usually a sign of confidence.
Exactly. You know, I love it when that happens. And then the other play I got is in the next race. It's it might as well be a turf stakes sprint where Love and Money is 5-2, Happy Soul 7-5. Both of them like to be out front. I'm gonna give a look to number 4, Bout Time, who hasn't raced since the Franklin last year at Keeneland. And the last 2 efforts of last year against Grade 3 Company were underwhelming. Quite disappointing, but she didn't race with Lasix, and I don't know if that's I don't know her to be a bleeder by any stretch, but it certainly seems like she's been much better when she's had Lasix. We won't get into that topic otherwise, but She ran a huge race here at Churchill on May 15th and then backed it up with a win in the Goldwood at Monmouth. And I just think this horse, getting LASIK, getting a fresh start for Cherie, who's 21% off a 90-plus day break with a positive ROI over a 98-start sample size, is a good play here at anywhere near the 8-to-1 price.
Cool. All right.
And that's about it. Today's card looks pretty formful. Some compact fields, some decent races, but I didn't have anything too creative. I'm going to lean on number two, Champagne Affair, in race four, in both the Derby City Six and the early pick five.
Champagne Affair for Famous Amos.
He's been hot. I mean, he's not winning with everything, but 75% of his horses since Derby Day here have hit the board. So
how about that?
When he gets some fire, yeah, not all just favorites either. So when he gets rolling, he can be tough here in Louisville and anywhere for that matter.
Well, the most encouraging performance obviously came from Hoosier Philly. And, you know, it's funny because Dave Grenig and I in Baltimore, we both were up on the balcony and watched. Yeah, there was only two candidates that morning when he and I talked about the gray filly that was tearing around the oval, and it could only have been Taxed or Hoosier Philly, and we later confirmed we were already on board on Taxed, but then Hoosier Philly's morning effort. I mean, that was more than a 2-minute lick, and she went around twice. And I know several people that said that they put her in just off the basis of that. And Amos, I could tell from his comments how heartened he was. And in fact, Andy Serling and I laughed about this on Tuesday because he's constantly giving Amos the business every chance he gets, and he basically kept saying, Andy kept saying, listen, she hasn't really run all that fast as a 2-year-old yet. So then when she came out and had those, those two very disappointing efforts at Fairgrounds, Andy was beating Amos up pretty good. So
Andy, he does that kind of thing.
Oh, well, especially with Amos, who he
they
loves.
Have fun on the set. That was a great hand, a great cap by you with Tax, though. You deserve credit for that. I'm sure you've been given it. Hopefully you took advantage of the windows, although I know you mentioned the 2-day wagers that had to sting a little bit without having National Treasure. But
that's all right.
But great, great cap, though. A great claim and a great cap.
Well, and it's funny because this is a second weekend in a row, second Triple Crown weekend, where I've made some bets and hit. I caught a try with two fills in Derby, and caught obviously the try here, and the horses I used both would have produced super cashes, and I just don't bet supers, and so now two weekends in a row, I've left a fair amount of money on the table, $1,500 at Derby, and I'm funny about it. I guess my early history betting supers was so bad that I just don't even consider betting them. And I suppose on these kinds of days, it's worth at least.
I mean, it all depends where your opinion lies and who you think can fill in.
Yeah.
I don't play them all that often either. Sometimes if I like a logical over a bunch of long shots, I'll play with men, thinking the try might not be juicy enough or, strong opinions, but I don't think super first or second at all either. So don't beat yourself up.
My guy, Johnny D and Will Schwartz. I mean, that's their bread and butter at Derby. They bet a 7-horse, typically 7-horse super. And they've hit for big 5-figure scores. And there's a lot of people that's their biggest bet of the year. In a lot of cases, you know, given the field size and the extraneous combinations that are covered. So anyway, I 1500 I think for 10 cents at the Derby and 1500 for a buck on the Black Eyed Susan, and I don't know. I know that if I start trying them, I'll go on an extended.
There's more variance than a lot of other wagers, you know. So it's bound to happen that way. But I feel you. You feel like a missed opportunity almost.
Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Chapp, 34, and the broadcast starts shortly.
The preview show will start at Churchill Downs today, 11:45. We kick off racing 12:45, and then. Inside Churchill Downs tonight, ESPNLouisville.com at 6 p.m. Eastern. So a full day here in the Ville.
So you're doing it from the office, or you?
No, we're done at about 4:55.
Oh, okay.
We'll get over to the studio, which you made it to at least once in your life, I think. I know you've done a lot of remote appearances, but we'll make it to the studio. It's only like a 5-minute drive.
Oh, the one next to the Comfy Cow.
Yes, exactly. The one right next to the ice cream shop. Exactly.
Yep, Comfy Cow, baby.
That's the real studio, even though we bounce around quite a lot, as you know.
Scott Shapiro, everybody. We'll bounce ourselves. Shap, good luck. The winning colors on Monday. Maybe we'll get a play as well, touch base on Monday.
Sounds good. Well, you have a good weekend, and I look forward to talking soon.
You got it. Scott Shapiro,
thanks,
folks.
Steve.
Thank you. There's Shap. Always, always fun to talk to Shap. And, it's right over in that studio is right there in the university. I forget what that street is there. It goes right down the center. Marty's daughter worked at that Comfy Cow. That's where I met Marty's, I think that was his youngest, right? Let's get to Hammer. And looking forward to catching up with Rick. And we might actually get a little, I think I want to ask him a little bit about the National Thoroughbred League. Or as we've been saying, the National Thoroughbred League. you know what? This is Hammer. I think we're in that something's really weird with. Yeah, this is strange, Rick. I each week now, this is the third week in a row, I have forgotten to look into it why I can't, when I go to call Hammer on either of his lines, I get a Verizon message. It's the strangest thing. I don't know what this is about. And nobody else. I cannot figure what the issue is here. So wait, we'll just wait a second and have Rick call into our studio, as it were. There he is. All right, there's our man. Hammer, I got to figure this out. I don't know why when I go to try either of your numbers, I get this call cannot be completed as dialed message.
I don't know. Unless I accidentally blocked you with all the spam calls I get, I hit your number instead. That's kind of wild.
Oh, I would. You know what? You should look at that because that I wouldn't have thought of that. Speaking of which, yesterday I went to do something. Mike Welch had tweeted something, and I went to tweet. I went to do something with the tweet, like to copy the address or something. And I accidentally, when I hit where I hit, I unfollowed Mike. And it made me realize why when you go sometimes and you see somebody that you know is following you and they're not following you, now I know what happens because it happened to me accidentally, right, unfollowing. So maybe that's what you did.
Well, it's the only thing I can think of because I know the last couple weeks, and I know you're on the road sometimes, and I figure out maybe you got a bad connection, and I'm thinking, And when you just said that, because I try it every time somebody calls, it's a spammer. I try to do the block this number thing, and maybe I hit yours. So anyway, we'll check that out. But we got through. But it's all good here. You know, I got up. We always get up early, as you know. I made the mistake of turning on the news this morning before anything, and that's, you know, just such a bummer. Whatever, doesn't matter. Whatever you hear. So I said, let me turn this thing off. But right before I came off, some guy came on the radio, and gave a little spiel about May 26, 1967, Sergeant Pepper's came out.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, wow. You think about how long that was ago. I was a kid, but I remember all the bigger kids on the block bringing out the album, talking about it and everything else. And then I saw on Twitter this morning, what's your favorite song on Sergeant Pepper's? And boy, talk about a wow. And I'm thinking back all those songs, Fixing a Hole, Benefit of Mr. Kite, With and Without You. Of course, Day in the Life is a good fallback. But you know what? Lovely Rita.
Yeah, fun.
As a kid, I don't know, for some reason, that was my first crush, was Lovely Rita. But there was a line in there that I just always remembered. Got the bill and Rita paid it. Took her home and nearly made it. For some reason, that line just like stood out. So, you know what? That got me off the bad schneid this morning. So, back in good spirits.
And you know, boy, you look at that. When I'm 64, she's leaving home. Good morning. For the benefit of Mr. Kite, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
With a little help from my friends. I mean, yeah. At one point, probably every one of those was my favorite song. Just an amazing album. But I always just remember Lovely Rita. I was like, I always imagine, well, what's Rita look like? You know?
Day in the Life might be my... Day in the Life
yeah.
might be...
That's the kind of the, when it's all said and done. I mean, that's just a word. Wow, that was a blow mind song. Where'd that come from? And it was long too. It wasn't the two or three minutes.
Yeah. Five and a half minutes.
Yeah, so that kind of did it. But anyway, that was kind of put a smile on my face. And you know, anyone that was near that age at that time has that album stashed away in a box somewhere in the garage. You know, like I do. I know for sure. But put that anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about and is a little bit older, that was the album that kind of changed the world for some reason and inspired a lot of other things. Go put that on. Go to Apple Music or whatever. And if you've never heard it, start it at the beginning and play it all the way through, and you'll probably play it three more times before you're done. Just an unbelievable album.
Well, and it's not just, it's not just the music. The album cover itself became a mammoth subject of conversation.
Yeah, who's in there? Who'd they hide in there? Who's in the back? You know, people, the way they were dressed, and if they had black on, were they going to die? You know, there's all kinds of stuff back going on then. But anyway, that would just kind of put a smile on my face this morning. I was like,
nice.
Good.
I like
good.
It.
It
I
is
like
going to be a good day. closing, getting here. Boy, you know, you look at the calendar, you turn it, poof, we're at Memorial Day already. And which is good. I mean, things start cranking up a little bit. This out here at Santa Anita, this is kind of the last hurrah before the meet ends in mid-June and they move on to Del Mar. And that means, you know, we're in between Preakness and Belmont, and, you know, things start getting cranked in the second half of the year. I know for me, it means travel season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Were you up early when I talked to Brad?
I had him on for a little bit. I always like to hear Brad, but then when he started talking about the races, I kind of turn him off a little bit. And,
color your vision, color your take.
Yeah, you know, and my daughter was up this morning. She goes, Dad, what do you turn it off for? And I told her, she goes, well, why would you want to turn that guy off? Don't you like him? I said, no, Brad's a friend. I don't want to repeat knowingly say the exact same thing. So it's pretty funny. doing that. But no, it was good, and good to hear Brad. And you know, it's actually, you know, I think we'll finish up good. It seems like when you have a long, you know, I'm going to say long meet, still missing Hollywood Park here with the, you know, break it up. And anytime you're racing and training at one track like this for such a long time, there is a, you know, can we move on? But for some reason, you know, when I was last here, it is like, whoa, we're leaving here. Let's participate in the last few weeks. So I think the last couple of weeks will be okay. You still have those, you know, people that are starting to look ahead to Del Mar, but there's a big gap this year between Santa Anita closing and Del Mar opening. I think it's a month, and it used to be, you know, we would go mid-April right into Hollywood, and then Hollywood would literally run, and then, you know, 3 days later Del Mar would open. So a little bit different of a scheduling. So it's not an immediate thing. You can get one last run in here and still be fresh for the opening week at Del Mar.
Well, the grade ones on Monday, anxious to see, and Brad said that the turf races are going to seem to be shaping up nicely. The Gold Cup might be a little narrow, but with the funded, probably a short priced favorite. But in the meantime, there's plenty more for us to talk about. Before we do that, Rick, I wanted to get a quick conversation in and get your reaction to how a concept like this National Thoroughbred League will integrate, you know, into racing offices. Because I mean, Tom's visit, which I think you heard, you know, seemed to indicate that it was well received by the racetracks. And as a racing official, what's your thought?
Hey, well, you know, it's funny. Play golf with Tom yesterday, our Thursday golf outing, and we didn't talk a whole lot about it, but we've talked about it. You know, he's been mentioning it for a while, and you know what? I gotta, all the naysayers that you know, if you want to paint the wall red, they complain. Right now, I gotta say, you know, racing's kind of boring in the whole scheme of things, and you know, day in, day out. Of course, we have our big weekends, but you got to think. Here's a concept here that, you know, league racing has been brought up all the time, and I think we get too bogged down with that part of it. But let's think about it. You got some new people on the horizon. They're willing to spend some money, bring in some celebrities, and trying, you know, basically get people to the track in some form or fashion, and the idea of having, you know, like a party circuit, if you want to call it, and in different cities around the country, starting out slow, and you know, maybe using the celebrity effect and whatever it takes to have maybe a party on a Saturday night and carry that over to Sunday, run a few races, and just to get people involved. You know me, I'm of the kind where hey, let's try something. If it doesn't work, you know, it doesn't work, but. You know, we're not doing a whole lot right now internally in the game to get that done. So I don't know how it's going to affect racing offices, this or that, too much. I think it's still fluid in how the races are going to happen and where the horses are going to come from. But, hey, you got to start somewhere. And the first race is going to happen at Kentucky Downs. And the party, so to speak, whatever they're going to put together is going to be a national, which is, you know, half hour down the road. And that only makes sense. And then the other cities and, you know, what I think it was the Meadowlands. So they're going to have the chef cook off there and, you know, all, you know, whatever they're going to do in Seattle. But, you know, just bringing something fresh and new and maybe bring some new people to the racetrack. So initially, yeah, there's going to be probably some bumps in the road and some things won't work out. But, hey, these guys are willing to give it a try, put some money up. I think we should give it every chance it has. That's all.
I agree. I mean, I was really aghast at it's amazing the kind of reaction that anything gets that might constitute, something different.
Out of the box, yeah. It's
just amazing.
It is amazing, and I think that's just the nature of the beast, and especially.
I don't know.
In our game.
Well, what I don't understand about what seems to be at least the loudest reactions. Let me slip this in. It's all you hear on a going basis is how no one ever tries to do anything new or different. And then someone tries to do something new and different, and that sucks. That's pathetic. What a terrible idea. It's like, if that's your attitude, why are you even pretending I love the game. Sure. I'm sure you do.
Well, let's just face it. There's a lot of people in this game, and there's a lot of people that go through life that, their job is to keep their job. And they show up in the morning, hide under the desk, hope nothing happens, and hope the sun comes up the next day. And heaven forbid we stick our neck out or try something and somebody doesn't like it, and oh my gosh. So this is just a total different concept. And, I got a half a dozen calls or dozen calls yesterday on it. And I got to say, most of them were pretty positive. Hey, where's this come from? Well, what's going on? And Tom said the same thing yesterday. He said it was amazing, the calls that he got, from some horse people. How can I be involved? So, maybe but it's always the same type of person that does that. It's the people that aren't afraid to make a mistake and move on. And, heaven forbid something doesn't work. Oh, well, at least we try to move on. So, the attitude in our game needs to change to pick things up for sure. I'm going to talk about the Triple Crown, the change of the Triple Crown. We might not do it, the tradition, all that, but isn't anything worth discussing too? I'm not saying that has to happen, but let's at least be open for discussion. We need some out of the box stuff, whatever it may be. So anyway, I'm like I said, something to talk about, something new, something fresh to knock around, and some version of it's going to happen, and I think these people involved are the type of people that aren't afraid to fail first time out and improve on it. So let's see how it goes. It's not that far off, and I'm sure it won't be perfect right out of the box, but hey, nothing was. So let's move on with that stuff.
And all right. I love it.
Preakness was good. I had to laugh because I had a quick hit last week, and I had told you about I had forgotten actually what I had said about having a vision of Aloma's ruler and going wire to wire like National Treasure. And someone texted me right after the race if I had any more visions about the rest of the card. It was pretty funny. So I actually had a crazy, was busy that day. I was at the track doing this and that. And I put in one bet. You'll like this because this is perfect. I put in one bet, a bet of pick five, ending on a Preakness. And I hit the all button in the first leg and caught the 17-1 shot. And so, had a nice $1,100 pick five for a couple bucks. So, turned out well. That's the key. Hit that all button in the right race. And I did. I would have never had that the horse that won. And so moved on. But, I had to laugh when National Treasure, pulled an Aloma's ruler and actually did it. Right after the race, what came to me, and we were talking about, what did you think about it? You know what? They are who we thought they were. I mean, that's basically what the race was. Not a whole lot going in and not a whole lot coming out. But, National Treasure, I think, is going to move on to the Belmont. The Belmont looks like, knock on wood right now, could be a pretty good event. And the Met Mile shaping up. So, this is when we start cranking.
Yeah. Well. You want to?
I'll throw in, since we're kind of rolling here a little bit. We had a good big weekend last week on the music front. Went to go see Billy Strings. I mentioned that, and that's the first time for me. And I got to tell you, I might be late to the game on this one, but I never, for 2 hours and 45 minutes, his band was fantastic. I have never seen someone unbelievably for that long. I mean, this guy is a superstar. What he did with an acoustic guitar put on a show like I've never seen before with his band. So anybody doesn't know, I thought I might be the last who doesn't know, but this guy, he's probably in his late 20s, just comfortably up there, just playing some super, super music with his band. It's a fiddler and a mandolin player with banjo and a stand-up bass. We're all fantastic as well, but this guy stole the show. I mean, so he's playing around the country, actually around the world too. So if he comes to, if you see it, go do it. It's definitely worth it. And then wheeled back the next night with the little Dead and Company, started their last farewell tour here at the Forum, which once you get there and get through the parking and the metal detectors and all this getting in, has turned into be one of the best indoor concert venues. They really did a good job anywhere. It always has been. I mean, that's been my place. I've probably seen 200 shows there. But what they've done with the sound and the seating is just fantastic in there. So we kicked that off and had a big weekend and the big double. So I'm fresh, fit, and dangerous, ready for the rest of the year. So wherever you want to go from here, I'm in.
All right, well, tomorrow,
tomorrow, yeah, 3-day weekend at Santa Anita, culminating, obviously, with the Shoemaker, the grade ones on Monday, the Gold Cup, the Shoemaker, and the Gamely. There's a couple contests. Monday's a mandatory payout for the pick six. There is a poker tournament after the races that's open for anyone at Santa Anita. So interestingly enough, it goes to a military charity afterward. I forget the name of it, but it all goes to charity. So that's that. But tomorrow's the Daytona. The Daytona and the Triple Bend and going off on the Daytona. There was a nice horse named Daytona, but that's not where this came from. This race, first ran this one, brought this up in 2004. I can't believe it's been 20 years. And it was named after the Daytona 500. And for the first 6 years, it was run on the same day as the Daytona 500. Kind of a weird deal. But it stood the test of time, and now it's a great three. A little small field this time, kind of an eclectic group here. They come from all over. What makes Sammy Run is the obvious favorite, and he may be tough to beat. I don't think you're going to get close to what we got last time. But a couple of interesting horses in there. Indian Peak, the Calbred on the rail for Pete Miller has only been out of the money once on this down the hill track. Ran very good in the Siren Lear last time. This horse might escape at a decent price. I like Indian Peak is probably a little bit of an upsetter. And the outside horse, Burn in Turf. He ran third in this race last year. He's coming back. He had his comebacker for the hot Dan Blacker, who had that nice win out of town. Burn in Turf on the outside. Drayton Van Dyke off to a little bit of a slow start here. But this horse might have a shot at a price as well. But obviously, Glad's the one to beat. The Triple Bend, some usual suspects in here. I think we're missing a few. CZ Rocket, see him? Boy, that was one of the, I think they claimed him back there. And he's done just fantastic for Tom Cagle and company. Came back and run a decent race to Dr. Chevelle. He seems to always be there. He's going to be back without Lasix this time. I know he seems to run a little bit better sometimes with Lasix. You got the usual Forbidden Kingdom and the up and comings horse Spirit of Makina, who just really looks like a top sprinter coming. You know what? I'm going to take a shot with the rail horse at a price. Midnight Mammoth, who ran a huge race last time against Defunded in the Californian, showed some speed in there. First time going 7/8, kind of like that. I don't know. At a big price, I might be using him, top to bottom. So that's who I like in the Triple Bend. I don't know what Brad had to say, but a quick look there looks good. Did you guys talk about the Sunday races as well?
We did, actually, because sometimes people gloss over those fields, and there's, you know, a lot of cowbred stars that are featured, and there's some exciting matchups. That Franz Valentine came up terrific.
Oh, it did. And, you know, the, we have that horse in the first race, the Chosen Braun, who is also entered later as well, we'll see. And, you know, this horse, I mean, if he runs in that first race, he's worth just going out to see. I mean, he's won 11 out of 15 and just tries every time. They put him on the turf. They put him on going short, going long, and just a super cool horse. Franz Valentine, once again, you know, some pretty good cowbreds. And this race used to be, or this day used to be penned the Gold Rush, and it was usually opening weekend at Hollywood Park during the April or so season. So they just kind of been shifted around on the calendar. You got old Nick Alexander and Rose Maddox, looking for another big run. And she's just very consistent. She won the Golden Poppy up north, has also won on this course. I can't get that out. Closing remarks is a great stakes winner, dropping back into cowbred company. Maybe she could be going in the Gamely. I know she's nominated there. So, you know, she's already graded, but maybe willing to take a step up and take on some of the better fillies there. I mean, horse on the bottom, look at John Sadler. You know, hasn't really done a whole lot on the turf, but tried once. This might be the spot to maybe get a little price on her with leading rider Juan Hernandez up. So an interesting field, really, really cool about Warren's Candy Girl. Craig Lewis has had a really nice meet, and this filly ran bang up last time. And I'll tell you what, moving up from a two of the den, an open two of the den, into a cowbred situation is not a big deal. As you can see, she's already won a cowbred stake, the Solana Beach last year. So a couple of hard looking fillies in here. I take a price, especially if Closing Remarks ends up going to the Gamely. Some of the other races have, you know, some superstars in them. I say superstar in the cowbred company. Ceiling Crusher, of course, is going to be a very prohibitive favorite in the Mel Air. Won last time by 15. I mean, this horse went 8 and change last time on the way to a 15 flat going 6.5. I don't care where you're bred. That's fast material. So we'll see what she does here, and who knows where she could be headed later. The last couple races, what do we got? The Snow Chief, like Tom and Jazzy in there a little bit. Of course, Phil D'Amato, and anytime he's got anything on the turf, you need to look at. And, you know, if all these horses run in the Thor's Echo that are kind of cross-entered here left and right, you've got some nice horses, none above the law. Peter Miller, Brickyard Ride, who, of course, has been the leading cowbred sprinter here for a while. Positivity, who's also entered. I think he's in the triple bend, isn't he? Positivity. And the Chosen Braun, who's in earlier in the day. So this is a pretty nice little bunch here. So, yeah, once in a while, these state bred races, I know they have them all over the place, come together. And, you know, it did out here. And then today they'll draw the Monday card, which, like I said, features those two turf stakes and the Country Grammar defunded Gold Cup.
There's also today, because it came up, who was on this week that Dan Blacker, right, that had today in that third race, you got the two-year-old, or not two-year-olds, these are older, these are three, four, fives, but Dan's got a second time starting Liam's Map, and there's also the Baffert, the horse that they sent. I thought this horse was going to go somewhere, Worcester, who's going to be a prohibitive favorite in this, but
yep.
There's also Smart Mo, the Motown of John Sheriffs, that I think is worth keeping an eye on. This is for, you know, for mid-season three-year-old maiden group. There's some horses that are going to have careers here.
I think you're right. I remember we talked about Worcester earlier in the year. as being, you know, possibly a, you know, a one that's going to develop, and, you know, some develop quicker than others. But you go back to that race in the Lewis, where he obviously ran as a maiden. I mean, you run third in there, not bad, and they sent him to the UAE Derby, which obviously didn't appeal to him. And coming back on the first time out of the box would be very tough to beat in here, and he might be a good late bloomer. But we're starting to see now. You'll start to see some of the 2 year olds start to pop up, obviously, and even some of the later 3 year olds that didn't quite make it. So, Del Mar is around the corner. It's still, still some time off, but some guys will take advantage of the guys waiting and dip out there. But I'm for me, Del Mar is way down the road. We got the Belmont getting ready to head out there for that, and that kind of gets things going for the second half of the year.
Just got a note from John Whitehammer that the racing office expects Chosen Vron to run in the Thor's Echo.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, John, for that. That's fantastic. That's more his ballywick than where he was. But that just shows you that they're willing to run. They're willing to run anywhere. When you have a horse like that, you do. And thanks for that. And so that strengthens that race. We'll see if these others stay in there, and look for really a good weekend, like I said. And then the payout for the Rainbow Pick Six is on Monday, the mandatory, and then I guess there'll be one more closing day as we finish out this long meet. And it's like I said, these long meets, and New York's going to find out in the next however long it takes to get that project done there, 3-4 years, when they'll be at one place only for a long time before Saratoga breaks that up. So, it's happened in Florida. Florida had 3 tracks not that long ago, and then 2, and now they're down to 1. So it takes away some of the what made the racetrack go. People would chip in, not only people, but us, the workers, the officials everywhere. It's like packed up and went somewhere else. And then you're always happy to see someone, and then you're happy to see him go. And then 6 months later, you're happy to see him again. Just the influx, different people coming and going. And, that's one of the things that's slowly going away just because of the shutdown of tracks. It's just the nature of the beast. But we still have our places that break it up. The Keenelands of the world, the Saratogas of the world, the Delmars of the world, the Oaklands of the world. So still plenty of stuff out there. But when you're in the big city and you're in one spot for a while, it does, times tend to kind of slow people down a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to maintain, momentum.
Excitement. And,
exactly. All right. Well, Hammer, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing that card come together today, and we'll be looking forward to having you in New York, our traditional Belmont lead-in.
Yeah, because, there was a rumor flying around that you might make a trip out here this week, obviously.
I would have liked to have. I really would. The baby takes the baby's the priority. Let's face it.
Got to do it. And next time we're together, I got a few things we want to go over. And we talked about the finish line deal, my couple of pet peeves. But next time we're together, we'll be able to spend some more time on that. But it's Memorial Day weekend. Remember why we're celebrating, everybody. And get to a track near you if you can, and enjoy it. And it's the gateway to summer right now. Heading in.
Exactly. We're there. Hammer, I appreciate it. Enjoy.
I will. You too.
Rick Hammerly, away they go, everybody. Let's check in with Scully and round out the most of the handicapping. I do want to get. I guess we can do it on Monday too, but I want people to be aware of the terrific. It looks to be you can't bet it, but it looks like those in Texas that want to get out to Lone Star, they'll be in for a very nice day. I mean, you got 11 by 12 in the Steve Sexton. led by Jake Delhomme, and Touch Upon a Star. Endorsed also shows up in there too. So I do want to at least mention a little bit about, even though the vast majority of us can't play, but there's going to be people. I should really reach out to Brandon Lee, and I imagine he's got a contest. Let me look into that, actually. James Scully, though, is standing by with a rare third-hour appearance.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, thank you for accommodating me, and hope your weekend or your I hope your weekend goes well.
Well, and you too. I first and foremost, we got James, one of the opinion makers from last week, that produced a nice number with Chitara in that ski pat. Nacho Correas and Vince Victor Chamino. That was one of the good returns on Saturday. Nice job, James.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Yeah, definitely provided some value to late pick five, I guess, in that sequence, and some pick threes where she ran really well. And then you have the, you know, of course, in the Preakness itself, you know, National Treasure took advantage of the pace and then just barely held on from Blazing Sevens. But I mean, I think it's sort of interesting. National Treasure, he won his debut at Del Mar in front-running fashion. He led wire to wire in the Preakness, but, you know, he may not be on the lead in any future starts. You know, he just took advantage of fortuitous circumstances, especially if they run Arabian Lion in the Belmont. He'll be the pace setter. And even if he doesn't run, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else beat National Treasure to the lead if he's in the field and then they've got a fair-sized field.
No, that's an interesting equation. I mean, there's going to be, it feels like there's going to be a, you know, double-digit group for the Belmont if this holds together the way
it's presented. Yeah, you got Kings Barn. You know, if Kings Barn's in there, you know, he won't be gunning it like he was in the Derby, but if he can break on top, you know, he'll take advantage of it. And, yeah, I think it's just the definitely would love to see. I mean, right now there's about a bunch of horses possible for it, but as long as we get at least 10, definitely, you know, make for a better way of betting race. And looks like the undercard could be pretty good on that day, too. We'll see how it develops size wise, but going to have some horses to look forward to seeing.
Well, 2/3 of the Triple Crown in the books, and plenty of things to keep us busy between now and Belmont Week.
Yeah, absolutely. We you know, it's obviously more stakes races this Monday. You mentioned those Lone Star races. It's a shame you can't bet on them or even see them very easily, because I was just, I mean, what a good field they drew considering the circumstances down there. I know you had referenced it, but Churchill Downs has a turf stake, the Katara Stakes, and we got Belmont Soaring Softly, and I got a couple opinions of those tracks. If you want me to go ahead, Steve?
Go, of course.
And then I'll just start. I'll start at Churchill Downs. I'll go. I got a few in race number five. I sort of like Get the Candy to run well last Friday. She scratched out of a $100,000 stakes to run in this $141,000 allowance. And I think, you know, this is a horse that was claimed last summer, made a couple starts, including an allowance win over State Bridge at Saratoga. But I loved her return performance at Gulfstream Park, beat a filly, came right back to win, and won pretty handily in the end. And I just think she's going to be better at five, going to be a potentially a stakes-type horse. I like her chances on the front end with Ricardo Santana Jr. She's listed at 10-1 in there. Number seven, Get the Candy in the fifth race at Churchill.
245, 5.5 on the turf, third level allowance. Cherie with Love and Money, the favorite. Actually, Happy Soul too is in there. Wow, you're gonna get that price, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even if it's 8-1, you know, it's gonna be a fair price for sure. And you know that Nota Bene is gonna take some action off of that last win. The in the Kirtana Stakes, they made number 10 Sparkle Blue like a slight morning line favorite. I hope she's not favorite. I hope like Exit Soul or this Puncher Philly, Sin Filtre, take more money because I like her chances to bounce back. I didn't think that was the best trip. That was a pretty good field there on the Oste undercard. She was a little bit eager early on, and you know, while she came up empty in the stretch, I look for her to move forward off that effort. I liked her last two races last fall for Motion. She looked like a filly who could come on this year, and I'm going to give her another chance in there. Number 10, Sparkle Blue. I think she'll take a big step forward against this group.
Graham Motion, who seems to be clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last race, obviously, you got a formidable favorite in there, number one, Mulliken. But, you know, he's a horse that he hasn't broken real sharply from the starting gate at either start. I mean, I know he hustled forward last time, but I just don't think the rail draw is a favorable draw. Maybe he breaks and just goes on. But I like a horse in there, a little bit of a price. Number four, Cusp. This Colts, $725,000 two-year-old in training purchase by City of Light, who already has three stakes winners this year, seems to be coming on a little bit. And this Cusp has worked six times, Steve, in like the last 42 days since April 15th. Last five works at five furlongs. He's a half sister to Travel Column, who won her debut at Churchill Downs, going six furlongs by like five lengths. And I just think, you know, and Paulo Lobo has a win this meet, and he and Geraldo Corrales are six for their last 22 together. So I'm going to give Cusp a chance, 8-1 on the morning line, number four in race 11 at Churchill.
Nice. First time starter in that group. All right.
Yeah, the Dam was a turf stakes winner, but a lot of her horses, like Travel Column, and she's got a couple other stakes types. They're all on the main track. At Belmont Park, I got a couple plays in a couple races, just sort of taking shots against, I thought, some vulnerable favorites. Race number eight, I wasn't too keen on the Glory Road or Dust Devil in there. I thought number four, Pit Boss, was claimed a few starts back by Juan Bernardini, and it took him a few starts to show his best, but I thought two starts back, that was a pretty good encouraging effort where he showed good speed, and granted, he caught a muddy track last time, but he just aired him, I thought, you know, or won pretty nicely, and I just think he's, you know, he's sharp presently. He's moving forward. He doesn't catch a field that has a lot of speed. The two horses in there, you know, he has a couple horses inside him that could be a little bit forward. But I think that being drawn in post four is a good position. I like Pit Boss right back in race eight. He's 8-1 on the morning line, number four.
Eric Cancel, that's interesting. That's the 25 claimer.
Yeah. And then race number nine, that's like an allowance. I mean, inflation adjusted is the type of favorite that I love to play against. He's got a pair of seconds and thirds. He's got 2 seconds and a third in his last four starts, and he wasn't really a serious threat in any of those. His last two wins, a mile 16th, he's stretching out in distance, and they might just need easier. The seven's coming back from like almost a two-year layoff or 18 months or just forever, and that one burned a lot of money last year. He had run this year. I like number three, Afghan, 10-1 on the morning line with Dylan Davis. I didn't think he got the right trip last time from the rail, switching back to turf on May 4th. But I think he'll get a better trip Saturday with Dylan Davis. And there's just not a lot of speed in this race, so he's going to be up close from the start. And I think he could take a step forward against this group. Number three in race nine, 10-1 on the morning line.
Afghan. Nice. John Toscano and Double D.
Yes. And then I got a last second play for you. I like the horse that was priced in race six, but they scratched that Saint in the City who I was just salivating to play against. So I'm going to go to race number eight at Belmont Park today. I like number four, Starship Leoban, 6-1 on the morning line. I thought that was an encouraging turf debut where he had a troubled trip. I think he's got beat a length and a half. Going to run better today. And, you know, I'll take my chances against Cairo Sugar and some of these other ones in here, what love looks like. So I like number four, race eight today is Belmont Park, 6-1.
Ruben Silvera for Ness, Starship Leia Band, 440 post, state breds, going a mile on the grass. And you know my philosophy, long on the grass, state breds, always the most productive division for prices. So I'm all for it.
And that wraps me up, Steve.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend, and talk to you next week.
You got it. James Scully, everybody. James_Scully111 on your TwinSpires blog roll. And we are going to get a visit in with Brandon Lee. We reached out, and there he was, because this is a big weekend for them, and there's still time for players to make plans to get over to Grand Prairie and be part of the contest. A lot of NHC seats, and this is always one of the big ones. Brandon Lee, good morning.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Good. I'm glad you were available, and we can get a blast in so that we can conjure up some contest players to make the trip into town, because this is your, you know, as good an opportunity as in the region as we get all year.
Yes, sir. We're very excited about the big day.
Give us the details. Let them know. I'm sure there's a lot of players that make this an annual Memorial Day weekend event. But tell everybody how it works and what they got to do to get there on site.
All right, Steve. So it's all weekend long. So it's we have three tournaments over 3 days. The first one is Saturday, and that's a $750 buy-in, two NHC seats on the line. And then players will win their bankroll into Monday's tournament at a 1-15 ratio. So depending on how many players we get, we'll give away a $2,500 bankroll into Monday for every 15 players that participate. And then we will turn around and do the exact same thing on Sunday. So again, it's a $750 buy-in, two NHC seats on the line. And then on Monday, it's a $2,500 buy-in, and that is when we will give away NHC seats at a ratio of 1-10. The first eight are guaranteed, and then we will keep adding an NHC seat for every 10 entries. So if we hit 90 entries, it'll be top 9. If we hit 100 entries, top 10, and so on. So it really is the best ratio, best chance to win an NHC seat, I believe, in the whole country. And not only that, just, we do not take apart, whatever your buy-in is, so 750 or 2500, it is 100% player bankroll. So a lot of other tournaments, they'll take a cut off the top to help pay for the prizes. Lone Star doesn't do that. We're actually not allowed to do that, but we try to advertise the tournament as a very player friendly, can use that to our advantage, but all of it goes towards your wagering, and whatever you have at the end is yours to keep. And hopefully you walk away with an NHC seat.
Well, and plenty of Texans, obviously, but they'll come in from Louisiana. They'll come in from Oklahoma, New Mexico. I mean, all around the region. This is always one of the most popular contests on site of the year. And you'll bend over backwards to accommodate everybody. Always hear great reports about it, and you guys have been so active. I mean, we got to be honest, Brandon. Of course, I mean, the situation that keeps the signal from wider viewing, and it's particularly going to be disappointing on Monday, given what a terrific card the racing office produced.
Yeah, definitely. The racing office does deserve some kudos. I think it's actually might be the best card in a long time here at Lone Star. We've got 12 races. We've got 122 horses entered. We've got 10-plus field size for the day, including 63 entered over the 6 stakes. So it is unfortunate. I think as a representative of the track, you know, I think it's important to just say sometimes you just can only control what you can control. And I give our team a lot of credit for keeping their head down and working hard and putting the best foot forward with what we've got to work with. And obviously we hope in the long run, you know, we'll come out of this okay and everything. But as far as anybody coming in, anybody coming to participate in the tournament, you're in for a really good card. The pool sizes, you know, they'll obviously be a little smaller, but we did over $1 million on track on this day last year. I anticipate about the same. So I'm not worried about the pool sizes impacting people's wagering strategies. I know that does get discussed a little bit, but we've been running some NHC tournaments since this started and it hasn't been a problem. I haven't really heard any negative feedback from anybody that has come in and actually participated in it, only from people that are, you know, worried about it, you know, in advance. But, you know, with all that being said, you know, you're going to get a great show at Lone Star. You know, I do encourage everybody to come in and kind of just enjoy the day. You know, we have a very nice, beautiful facility. We're going to roll out the red carpet for all the tournament players. You got comp valet, comp food. We're going to be in one of the nicest rooms we got here at the track. It's a great environment. You know, it's pretty much set up like a little mini NHC, the way we've got the room set up. And, you know, it's just obviously a great vibe. You get to hang out with fellow tournament participants. The camaraderie is great. And, you know, nowhere else do you get this 1 in 10 chance to win an NHC seat. And plus, you got 3 days where you can earn tour points.
Exactly, and the tour participants, they absolutely line up. How many commitments do you have so far?
I estimate that we'll have about 100 participants. You know, it's kind of hard to say because a lot of people, they don't always give me advance notice. I've done enough of these, though, where I feel fairly confident, you know, that we'll have a good turnout. So.
Well, I was not going to let the morning end without getting a blast about it in, and I'll put it out as well on Twitter, because this is always popular, and a number of big names have qualified for NHC and you know, gone on obviously to Vegas, and under the circumstances, you guys need all the support can be mustered. For those that haven't looked at the card either, I mentioned the 12 horse field for the Steve Sexton Mile, but he got 11 in the Ouija board. Brad Cox sending Juncture and Lovely Ride as part of this. Tommy Proctor's got Ico. We'll root for Proctor a little. I owe him a phone call. He got what looks to be a very competitive group in the Texas Derby, the $300,000 three-year-old race. And then the sprint and the turf sprint, the Chamberlain Bridge, of course, and on. Brett Calhoun has to be right. Yeah, Calhoun always seems to have, he gets one into the Chamberlain Bridge. And the Spitestown on the main track starts off the stakes action. So what are the options for players in terms of the betting? What can they bet?
So within the tournament, you can bet win, play, show, and exactas. Those are the bets you make, and then you have to bet at least your initial bankroll in what we call the early race period, and on Monday that'll be over the first 8 races. And then we move into what we call the late race period, and then at that point, whatever you have once the early race period has concluded, let's say it's $3,000, then you've got to bet 50% or more during the late races. You can spread it out, bet it all on one race, however you want to accomplish that, but you'd have to bet, you know, half of your bankroll or more during the late race period. And it is win, play, show, and exactas only.
Excellent. Well, Brandon, best of luck. Hope we pick up a couple of people that don't have formal plans right now yet for the weekend, or certainly for Monday, and the chance to make it to Grand Prairie, to Lone Star Park, which is as modern and as lovely a facility as we've got. And of course, for a lot of people, the most popular, a lot of people will tell you the best Breeders' Cup they ever went to was Lone Stars. And wish you the best of luck, and we'll be watching the leaderboard. And I'm glad I was able to catch up with you.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Jazz man Brandon, everybody. Brandon Lee, who runs a great tournament and does a super job. Get a hold of Brandon and everything at the website. I'll put the link up as well. I just took a little screen cap, and it's all right there, LoneStarPark.com, and you'll see the under the Horse Players tab. Drop down Horse Players, and you'll see tournaments. So, and that's it. That's our Twin Spires weekend preview. Plenty to keep you busy. We're going to be on Monday, though, and we'll have a lot of fun. It's always fun to do a holiday Monday. Thanks to Nick, and he'll be back with us Monday, too. Brad Free, Marcus Hirsch, Schaap and Scully, Hammer, Brandon Lee. Is that everybody? I think so. That's it. Good luck if you're playing, everybody. Thanks. For a fun post Preakness week, and intense, I'll admit that. Talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend.
With Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands in the Mid-Atlantic.